Well, this evening, brothers and sisters, we'll go ahead and we'll just begin reading from the first chapter, first verse of Galatians. And God willing, we'll close this first chapter out this tonight. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Amazing what this world preaches at this time, isn't it? Anything but that. As we said before, say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him for 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. That's as good as it gets. Praise the Lord. Aren't we thankful we have the gospel of Christ? And aren't we thankful that by his Spirit, he has made it the sweetest things to our lips, to our hearts, and to our life. That's the grace of God. Now, last week, we left off there in the 15th and 16th verse, where it says, it pleased God who called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. Now, praise God, to make manifest his son in me. So much, praise God, that someday all creation groaneth for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's the pinnacle event. It's the moment of moments when he will reveal that one where Christ in that one, the hope of glory. See, it pleases God, brothers and sisters, to reveal Jesus Christ in us. It sets up the theme that we already studied, the mystery of Christ in the church that we read about in Ephesians, us in Christ. Or how about in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, the pattern over and over and over, it's Jesus. Praise the Lord. The glory is him. But praise God, the treasure he happened to put in us. Isn't that wonderful? See, I glory saving the cross. That's him. That's his work. That's his blood. Praise God. All glory be to God. And when that vessel takes that and allows the Spirit to just continue to amplify it, my goodness, what a glorious vessel there is. It's a vessel even true to the word and the meaning of vessel. A helpmate. Praise God. Adding to the usefulness of the husband. I mean, that's magnificent. But that's God. That's the perfection of what he wants. That's him growing up in us. Hallelujah. This wondrous bride that is ready to wed his son. Now, it's all we know because of this grace doctrine, this precious doctrine, this precious message, this precious gospel that Jesus Christ so revealed to Brother Paul. And Paul goes on here, and we come to this point where he is dealing with these brothers that are wavering. And they're wavering because they've been polluted with legality. See, legality pollutes you. It does. It stunts you. It does everything against the grace of God. And that is always what happens, brothers and sisters, when our flesh touches anything. When our flesh gets into things, it either withers, becomes sickly, or let's just call it like it is, accursed. Isn't that amazing? That's a strong word. But see, God doesn't mince words. God's word, as the brother said, it's yea and amen. That's his promises to us. But brothers and sisters, we better take it like it is. And it is what he's saying, is that these are the beggarly elements. These are filthy rags. I will have nothing to do with this. And God established it from day one, right there with Cain, when he didn't have anything to do with that offering that he was bringing. But he worked so hard. But he tilled with his own hands. Don't you get it? Right there, my own hands. It just polluted it. It's the work of grace. From the very beginning, behold the Lamb. Hallelujah. The simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Aren't, again, we thankful that his grace has enlightened the eyes of our understanding. But I love this, brothers and sisters, and I've really been rejoicing. I've had to make a few phone calls to ones and just to say things that we already know, and I'm thankful to the Lord. Yes, I preach to the choir every Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. It's great. I'm glad we know these things, and we're giving the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, the things that we have seen, the things that we know, praise God, that our eyes have been enlightened to see. But see, he proves his authority here in verse 11. I received this gospel from no man. Neither was it from a man. Neither could a man even conceive this. And praise be to God, after Jesus Christ gave it to me and I received it, he immediately shut me up to him. He shut him up. And he specifically was readying him, which I love it, to give this word of God to the heathen, to the Gentile. And he placed precious Paul in a state with Christ alone, and he says right here, I conferred about this with no man. I didn't go in here to talk about this with anybody. God wanted to talk with me more about this. He wanted to establish this in my life. And we need to listen to this precious statement here. I conferred with no man. See, the beauty of this was that Paul truly saw the throne of grace was for him. Isn't that wonderful? Do you really see that the throne of grace is for you? That God would have done that with his son just for you, and that throne of grace is that intimate and so specific just for you and just for me, for every one of our individual needs. Every time that we need, which we do need it all the time, we need mercy, we need grace, praise be to God. See, Paul saw and he knew that his sheep do hear his voice. And brothers and sisters, we need to be bold in that. We need to believe God by his grace for ourselves. And yes, there are times that the Lord does encourage us to seek counsel. But it's the counsel of God. But sometimes we might go to a pastor. Sometimes we might go to an elder. There might be times like that, brothers and sisters. But always and first, seek the Lord on your own. Amen? Amen. And even when you're counseling or consulting in a sense, but you're still going to God. People that come to see me, you're not coming to see me. We're just going to see God. We're going to go seek the mind of Christ. And I'm telling you, it's the truth. And here's the mind of Christ. If you haven't recognized it, this is it. This is his word. This is his truth. And I'm thankful to God that it is that simple. But so many times, precious people, and I'm talking about God's precious people, they get themselves into trouble because they try to confer with this one, and then it becomes, well, I heard that, and so-and-so told me this and that. And see, that's not consulting with the mind of Christ. That becomes opinions. That becomes feelings. That becomes what I think, as opposed to the mind of Christ. And brothers and sisters, I just encourage us, we need to knock that off. And we need to listen to God for ourselves. And we need to go boldly to the throne of grace and hear his voice. And here is his voice. It's in the word of God. Now, this included, which is so precious in our scripture here, it included the apostles and the disciples. I love it. I just think it's so awesome. See, God had something so mighty to tell him. He didn't have time. It wasn't that he didn't have time. He just didn't want anybody to pollute this. This is what he had for Paul. This was straight from the throne of grace. Brothers and sisters, this was brand new. No one knew of this. And God chose this brother Paul to bring forth this precious message. And sure, brothers and sisters, it was so sweet here and thinking about different ones that I've talked to about different things in my life. So many times we try to use a pastor card or we try to use an elder card. They were trying to maybe use a Peter card. You get what I'm saying here? See, Paul already knew this because God already told him, because God already showed him where he was going to go and who he was going to consult with and all of that. And there was but one he was going to, and that was his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, he was going to already have and know that the testimony to these brothers. And I'll tell you, it's amazing how the Word of God brings out Peter here. And it's precious because I have some very dear Catholic brothers in the Lord. Yeah, they believe that Jesus Christ is their Savior. So wonderful, and I rejoice. But as we start talking along, a lot of times they say, well, but we've got Peter. And I just say, now, wait a second here. And a lot of times I love to take them into Galatians here. And then I like to talk them about, do you follow Paul as he followed Christ? Why is so much attention given to Peter as opposed to Paul? But then it's not a Paul that we're paying attention to. It's the gospel. Do you understand that? Isn't that awesome? I'm just so thankful. But see, that's even man in their own mind and trying to promote these things. It's just like, you know, there they were and they were going to build three altars. And they said, okay, we're going to build one to Moses and Elijah, and then here we go, we're going to have the one to Jesus here. And no, you're not going to do that. Hear him. This is my beloved son. I am well pleased with only him. And see, isn't that wonderful? That what pleases God is that Jesus Christ be revealed in us. It's not about Peter being revealed in us. It's not about Paul being revealed in us or anybody else that we think that might be a very precious vessel. It was the treasure. And praise be to God, what treasure the Lord brought to Paul in this precious gospel of the grace and glory of God. But see, he knew that these ones were going to try to hang their hat on Peter. And so, in the next chapter, and we'll kind of jump ahead just a little bit, we're going to read about how he said, well, wait a second here. I had to go and rebuke Peter to the face and say, how dare you? And how dare Barnabas not stand for the gospel of Christ? And they didn't stand for the gospel of Christ. They allowed the legalists to get in there and scatter the flock and start lying with justification by works. And that's exactly what happened. And exactly what Peter and Barnabas both need to be told was grow up. Be a mature son of God. Those are the childish things. Those are the things that will stunt you. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I love it that Paul, again, because of Jesus Christ and the Father who called him and made him an apostle, brothers and sisters, he is the authority to the church. See, he wasn't made the authority to the church as the church apostle by man. They didn't come and anoint him and do the different things. And I appreciated a brother that I was speaking to earlier this week. I am thankful to the Lord that the Lord had the brethren come and lay hands on me and were praying over me as a pastor to be anointed that way. But I'm going to tell you something. God had already done it. God already did it. And that's the truth. But I'm thankful to the Lord that we acknowledge that. It's just as if, in a sense, that praise God, we do the communion. We do this in remembrance of him. We know that it's finished, but praise the Lord that we rejoice in the work of what the Lord has done, and we give him grace and glory for that. But isn't it sweet, brothers and sisters, that after the Lord so divinely gave Paul this precious message, he just swept him away. There's such an intimacy in how he dealt with Paul. And brothers and sisters, that's how he deals with us if we'll follow Paul as he followed Christ. He just sweeps you away. He just takes you away to him. Doesn't matter where you are, you're just stolen away. Hallelujah. You're captivated. You're a prisoner of the love of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing what God did so quickly with Paul here. See, he didn't take him down to religious Jerusalem. See, everybody that was religious was kind of hanging around there. See, God couldn't get anything done there. He wanted to get it done alone. And matter of fact, he took him to godless Arabia to do this. Did you know that? We're going to talk just a minute about what these meanings mean. I got to thinking about Joseph, how God so sweetly, he was going to show how things were going to work. I'm going to take that sweet young man that was really in a hothouse there with a daddy around a lot of sweet, godly people. Amazing what was going on there. But I'm going to take that Joseph, and I'm going to pluck him right out of his family. I'm going to do it in such a horrible matter of all this jealousy and deception and lying and hurt and guilt and all of these things. And I'm going to take him out, and I'm going to put him right in the heart of the godless, wicked Egyptians. And I'm going to raise up the man of God for this age. Praise God! I'm going to show my faithfulness. It doesn't matter where, but I'm going to show my faithfulness. I'm going to show that it's my grace. I'm going to show that it's my strength. And he did that same thing with Paul here. He took him out of it. He isolated him. And he grew him up in what God had for him, just as he did with Joseph. I just think it's so mighty. But see, God knows what he's doing. I think about the theme that goes on and on. Sister Keys touched on it on Sunday night. We walk with Christ alone. See, even though we have this blessed fellowship, brothers and sisters, and I am so thankful, and God encourages us in this, the much the more as we see this day approaching, we need to take, by God's grace, advantage of the grace and glory that's moving through the saints. How wonderful that those coals getting together ignite one another. It is precious. It is us in Christ. But brothers and sisters, always understand this. We got there. We remain there. We stay there and we grow there by grace alone. It's not because of you or me. It's because of him. Isn't that wonderful? And see, when we take that to ourselves and we rejoice in that, God so sweetly and amazingly, He weaves that body. He makes that body so incredible. And the stitching and the tapestry and everything that He's doing there, we're so one in Him. And how those joints so richly supply one another. It's just awesome. But that is what God does. But you think about these first two places that God took him to reveal Himself to Paul. Arabia and Damascus. If you put those two meanings together, they mean a desert of mourning. Isn't that amazing? So once he enlightened Paul into this wonderful, amazing, precious grace, he doesn't go and immediately said, okay, now you're ready to go tell everybody about it. Now you're ready, aren't you? You're ready to go be a missionary? Huh? Nope. I'm going to isolate you with me. I'm going to grow you up. I'm going to take you to the place of a desert of mourning. And I love that. And the Lord hit me with this, how God deals with us. Because what does God do when He so deals with us and we get that vision of what He wants? That I may know Him. Amen? Know that in Philippians? That I may know Him. And what is the first way that we know Him? In the power of His resurrection. Do you think Paul knew Him in the power of His resurrection? I think he knew Him right away in the power of His resurrection on that road to Damascus. He knew that Jesus Christ lived. Amen? Saul, why persecute thou me? Huh? Amen, he knew Him. He knew that He had risen. Hallelujah! He knew the power of the resurrection. At that moment, he knew that Jesus Christ lived and that Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, it hit him. He's the Savior. Hallelujah. All of that started immediately to come together. That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ alive and powerful in His life. And then, how immediate, in the fellowship of His sufferings. A desert of mourning. See, Paul had to be taken speedily, just like old Esther. He took the things and speedily gave them to her. There wasn't a lot of time. But what's time to God? He saw a heart. He knew that vessel. He chose him. He called him. We're ready to go now, Paul. Come away with me. And you can hear right from the very beginning, what did Paul say? I'll go. I will go. I will go. I will go. And he took him. And he filled him in the fullness and the glory that God hit him with. Brothers and sisters, put yourself right there. It's the same message. Not unto me only, but unto all them also. That love is appearing. And from that moment, it struck his heart. And that appearing grew more lovely and more lovely and more lovely. But it was at an increasing rate. It was moving. I mean, moving. Hallelujah. But how wonderful that, again, the fellowship of his sufferings. He took him to that desert of mourning. He was taking him to the school of enlightenment for that. And soon then after, Paul would begin the lifelong journey to know him being made conformable unto his death. I love the story. He brought all the phases of to know me. That we may know him. Right there. He was bringing it out for Paul. That path was fully laid out for him. Paul, this is the way that you must go to win my best. Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. It's so beyond stellar perfection. The lover's knowledge and brilliance. I'll tell you, it's just breathtaking. But then it says, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. We kind of laughed about this a little bit last week. And I saw him a whopping 15 days. I believe in my heart of hearts, God let him see him, and God so divinely got him out of there. I got so much more for you, but it ain't going to happen right here. You can testify. Thanks be to God. You can tell him about, I'm sure that's all he could talk about was grace, but they couldn't take much of that. They just couldn't. Probably would have killed him. But God stopped that. And that was all the experience that Peter had with that was 15 days. Now, brothers and sisters, I really do believe Peter wasn't ready. We can look into the scripture because the scripture tells us so. See, Peter still had to get humiliated with more Peter. What did he just say? Yeah, I said it. Peter had to get more humiliated with more Peter. You thought, well, I thought he learned that lesson back when Christ was here. Yes, he did. But he even was learning it more and more and more and more. It's amazing what self does. See, self delays a lot of things that could have happened a long time ago. Amen? Come on. Isn't that amazing how quickly Paul was taken up in it? Now, God did it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not magnifying Paul. But he let God do it. You see what I'm saying? See, it's hard to break with our those things that are ingrained. And Peter had a lot ingrained in him. But you could say, no, wait a second. But what about Paul? What did he just say? I mean, I profited more than all of them. I was the chief Pharisee. Like I said, I didn't just go to the tradition parties. I threw them. Huh? I was the one blowing the horn. Remember my sweet brother? Remember Enoch and changed his name here, Andrew. And I love him and I pray for him. Talk to him every once in a while. But praise the Lord, how the Lord is continuing to deliver that sweet brother. But see, when you're trained in that and you're exposed to those types of things, there's something that's appealing to your flesh. Observing feasts, blowing this, doing that. Well, it's okay. No, it's not okay. There's a more perfect way. And the perfect way is, you know what? It is finished. Man, it's a better thing. I want the better thing. How about you? Because God wants it for us. He's laid that out. It's so beautiful that what we have, and that's what the Lord did with Paul. He wasn't going to allow this in any way to be corrupted. The simplicity and the beauty of the glorious gospel of grace that leads to the greatest of glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that he was bringing Paul in, he wasn't going to let man touch that one bit. Do you see that? What you going to do? Huh? Are you going to be like Paul and say, Lord, have your way and take me away? Yeah, I don't know what he might have been feeling. Praise the Lord. It doesn't seem like he was feeling much. And that's the way we better feel. I don't want to feel much. I don't feel the need I got to do something. I don't feel the need I got to serve. I see the need. I got to bow. I see the need. I need to be still at the feet. I see the need. I need to be still and know that he is God. I love it. It is. It's so incredible. I thank God that we had a pastor that told that sweet sister right there. That sweet sister Lydia came in here. She got excited about hearing about the things of God. And I'm sure there were things that were like, oh, well, what can I do now? And we had a pastor full of truth and love. And he said, go sit down and listen. Amen. And look what it grew up, honey. A masterpiece, not because of you, but because of Christ in you. It's awesome, but that's how God does it. But think about man. Well, we're not going to grow numbers in a church like that. How many people are going to get that? Just a handful? Amen. Just a handful. But see, if we can keep you busy and we can think you're important and we can get you running around and doing this and I'm in charge of that, well, whew, I can come around here and beat my chest as I go through the line, couldn't I? If he doesn't get the glory, we missed it. We missed it. And the only glory there is when we glory in his Son. And then any working in me was because of the grace of God. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it awesome? See, that's why we don't put out the lists, okay, husbands, it's 1 through 10,000. Wives, it's 1 through 200,000. You're more submitting, see. And even if you could follow that to the T, and let's say you could make your husband or wife real happy, what did it profit? What did it profit? Nothing. Uh-uh. See, I yield to God. He does the work. He gets the glory. Do you see it? I pray we do. I pray we do. Now, how wonderful. How marvelous. See, Peter, we know, even 14 years later, 14 years after this experience of meeting Paul for 15 days, that's when he had to go face to face with him and say, Peter, I'm going to have to rebuke you now, son. I didn't want to have to do this, but here we go. You're not going to preach the flesh. No. That's not what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has called us to. That's not the glorious gospel, son. It's the grace of God. And my heart even hurts for him, that Peter, because the last thing he said was they were still troubled, the ones who were unlearned and wrestled with the gospel. There was a lot of things that he received. Praise be to God. But it was all kingdom. Because that's what his place was. Know that. He said, I'll let you rule over the 12 tribes and you'll have a throne. But praise the Lord that there's a better thing for us. Hallelujah. Isn't it exciting? Huh? You got something. You do. We're not comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. I'm just reading you the Word of God. Huh? Now we're complaining about stuff. And we got this waiting. It's becoming more real and real all the time. Beside myself almost. Thinking what we mean to God. What He has prepared for us in His Son. Now, let's go on. As we think about it, I pray that we let this speak to us, brothers and sisters, that we truly learn to be led by God, that He will even reveal when to go up and where to go up and when to speak. We're going to read about that even in Galatians 2:2. I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel. Do you see that? Did you see how it said there? By revelation? Go back to the 12th verse. Neither did I receive it from man, neither was I taught it by man, but by revelation. You willing to wait on God and let Him reveal it? Is there any hurry? There really isn't a hurry as we're waiting on God. He's doing it. But the key and the secret is to wait on Him. Be patient. Let patience have her perfect work. Wait on the Lord. See, we don't want to move in our own goodness, brothers and sisters, or we will waste time. We could even cause injury. When God says move, then we move. When God says stay, then we stay. Paul left even Peter. Can you imagine that? Oh, what an insult. He was only here for 15 days. Who does he think he was? I don't know if he thought that at all. But wouldn't that be crazy? Wouldn't it have been crazy for Paul to sit around and say, oh man, this is Peter. If I'm really going to be a holy guy, I better sit down and kowtow to this guy. It wasn't that he was dissing him or disrespecting him or anything like that. He was following the revelation of Jesus Christ. And God had prepared vessels for him. Praise the Lord, to preach this glorious gospel of grace that we're ready to receive it. And it happened to be the Gentile. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Jesus. Think about this. He's speaking to us. An old religious Peter, you got passed by at that moment. There's a lot of type. Amen? See, brothers and sisters, Jerusalem, that religious, it was passed by. He came to save the needy and the lost. Hallelujah. Dealt with the likes of us. There you go. We'll move on. He sweetly mentions James here. And do you remember when we did that little study on the siblings of Christ? It meant a lot to me. I encourage you to go back and listen to some of those. I thought we had a precious time there. But the Lord's brother here that's mentioned. And there's something I really believe that's so sweet and personal here, and a further encouragement to us, because if you remember about James, the Lord's brother, he did not accept him as Lord. Just think, this is even, you know, as I say, his family in a way. But he didn't accept him as Lord until after the resurrection. Amen. You talk about a prophet not getting any respect in his own land. I mean, it gets tight in the family. Can you imagine what I cry out in my house? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, my goodness. What did I just say? All right. Just the truth. But see, never mind. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. All right. How soon, hallelujah, how soon, the Lord transformed him, as it says, seemingly a pillar. But I'm thankful in a lot of ways that the Lord mentions this. Those are some sweet brothers there, James and Cephas and John, in that ninth verse of the second chapter. But James is said to have been the greatest preacher in Jerusalem. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Maybe had some entry there because of some of the longings to some of the tradition. I don't know. That's kind of what waited at Jerusalem. But I leave that between the Lord and him. But I think about that sweet brother and think about his name. And if you remember, the name James means supplanted. And I think about this meeting here, even though it was brief, with Brother Paul. Grace came in at that time. Grace came in. And that glorious gospel touched him in some way, shape, or form, because there was transformation in that life. And that's what that grace does. But see, Paul, by grace, was giving that message of grace. And it supplanted a lot of that flesh and resentment of James. And hallelujah, that's just like each and every one of us. That transformation had to happen. But I think how precious that it mentions that sweet little James. And who knows what that moment in time did in transforming his life. Praise be to God. Just to think about. But Paul goes on and he says, believe me now, I'm not lying. And then he said, God took me away again to Syria and Cilicia. And those two words together mean exalted but covered. And I love that. There's an exaltation, but it's covered. And I got to thinking about how perfect, because it goes on to say he was unknown by face. He was unknown. They didn't know his face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, hidden away. Paul magnified the Lord. His testimony, brothers and sisters, was transparency. He was a vessel that truly magnified the grace of God. That's who you saw. It wasn't Paul at all. It was Jesus Christ. That's how hidden away it was. I think of the verse that it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise God, it's in here. Hallelujah. Amen. And know it. And know by God's grace, it's waiting to be revealed. There's a groaning that's going on. And in due time, the word of God says, he shall exalt you. Amen? You don't need to be exalted yet. You just don't. He's already, praise the Lord, if you know who you are in Christ, it's already exaltation. That's the beautiful thing. The exaltation was already going on. But praise God, it was covered. As that wife, praise the Lord, she's covered. There'll be a time that veil is going to be removed from her. And praise God, that's going to be wedding day when she lights off her camel as he runs to her. Oh, my goodness. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. See, it wasn't his appearance. They loved and got excited about the truth in love that was in Paul. Isn't that wonderful? You see? And that again, brothers and sisters, is what God is doing in the saints of the Most High. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Listen to the truth here. It was the faith that was known in this man. It was the evidence of the love of God's transforming power that was taking him from glory to glory, just like it does us. And what a testimony in Paul. And it's the same testimony in us, brothers and sisters, of the message of the crown. And they glorified God, as it says here, they glorified God in me. And see, that's it. That's it. It's not us, but Christ in us. They did not glory in Paul, but the work of God's glory in Paul. Amen? That's why I get excited about what's going on in so many saints. It's not about the saint, it's about Christ in the saint. But you know that offends some. Like Peter, maybe. How come it's not me? Oh, my goodness. Think about it. We just missed it. You see what I'm saying? Are we one in Christ? Should I not glory truly as much of Christ in you and the things that's going on in your life as my life? Think about it. The Word of God even tells us that. But it's His body. Does the ear get jealous at the finger? Does the eye say, well, my goodness, I can see. And you're just a knee. See how ridiculous that is? You say, well, Jesse, that's your body. And it's only temporal. And we're talking about the forever. So who's being ridiculous now? Isn't the Word of God just piercing? Doesn't it just lay it open like it is? And here we are. And the call. This is His message. This is let God. This is His life. It's Christ in us. Magnify the grace of God. It wasn't I that labored, but it was the grace of God that was with me. It's the life of Christ. I am crucified together with Him. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He does it over and over and over, doesn't He? Go right back to the very beginning. Abel, bring me the lamb. Aren't you thankful by His grace? That is what you know. That is what you believe. And that is what you pant for. Lord, just more of that. More of it. Is your hair standing up on the back of your head? I don't think it's cool in here. My hair is just like, thinking about it. And it does that all the time. Thank you, God. But brothers and sisters, it's the transforming power of Christ in us. The Word of God says, know no man after the flesh. Wow. And I thought I was important. I am in me. With Christ in me. See, we are new creatures. They loved Christ in him. They loved what the work of the Lord did and was doing in him. They hadn't even seen his face, but they loved him. They were passionate. How many times, again, think of our last study, how Paul hadn't seen those saints. He had never even met them, probably never did. But oh, the passion, the love. It was about the work of the glory of God in them. Do you understand now? We can dwell together. We can settle down as husband and wife. That's how we do it. Because it's his life that our fellowship becomes the gospel of Christ. This gospel, the same gospel of the grace that was revealed to Paul, alone, isolated with Jesus Christ. No, I'm not taking you to Jerusalem. I'm not going to let it contaminate any of this. We got a table set for two. And matter of fact, it's called in the desert of mourning. How many of you crazies want to go? Come on! Huh? You mean it's not in the tropics, Lord? The boat didn't come and we're not going down the Lotus Land of Ease? You're kidding me. It's in the desert of mourning? Yeah, it is, isn't it? Anybody who's taking him up on that appointment, it's a desert of mourning. Hallelujah. That's the way it is. So see, now you understand what these suffering for Christ's sake, but they're not worthy to be compared. Come on now. See, they love the truth in him. They so loved Paul because of the truth. And praise be to God, what a testimony to us, brothers and sisters. And truly, as we read this, it is something to get excited about because it's the same conviction. It's the same spirit. It's the same message. It's the same gospel. As it says in the Word of God, to follow Paul. Amen. Mark it. Allow that work to be done. Follow Paul and all the working of the Spirit in Paul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As he followed Christ. And it will be a crown of righteousness. It will be exactly that. That path leads to none other than that. That joyful run leads to nothing else than win him. It's exact. It's just like the blood, because it all came out of that. Did not receiving the blood of Christ exactly, perfectly result in now I am a son of God? Was there any other result it could be? No, it had to be exactly that. It's exactly the same for this, because the promises of God are yea and amen. It's because it's impossible for God to lie. And this is why, by his grace, we preach this word and we take the more earnest heed to the things. Amen. Because they build it line upon line. And how many lines tonight, by his grace, did we receive? Was the pillar even built stronger? I pray to God. Hallelujah. She's something. Oh, praise God, she's something. Built so incredibly, a pillar. Hallelujah, so stunning. Honey, it's all yours. And all because of the sweet simplicity. You're my workmanship. By grace alone. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.